ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
Now, for the last few months, we've been looking at the challenges facing the higher education sector in Australia. And let's return to that subject now. To speak with an academic who's been given the mission of deepening public conversations about the value, the identity, and the purpose of universities. She's Professor Sophie Gee, an academic at Princeton University in the States and also a fellow at Sydney University, a scholar in English literature. She's also the presenter of the popular podcast, The Secret Life of Books. Professor Sophie Gee, thanks for joining us on Saturday Extra.
Hello, Nick. It's really lovely to be here.
I think one of the big questions you're looking into is why universities matter in such a turbulent world when a lot of people are thinking, well, you know, a lot of stuff like this is going to be outsourced to artificial intelligence. I mean, obviously, I'm playing devil's advocate here, but what answer would you give to that? Why do universities still matter so much?
Yes. Well, the first thing to say about that question, Nick, is that it's the right question to ask. And the reason it's the right question to ask is that we're watching this transformation in the way that we make knowledge and the way that we kind of interact with what we know, and that's AI. And so this is exactly the right thing to say. You know, what is going to be the ongoing place of an educational institution, in particular a university, when that's happening, when there's a case to be made for universities becoming obsolete? And I think that the answer is to say that there is no, there's really no point in having an institution that keeps doing the things that have already been done before. The purpose of universities is to keep expanding our imagination, to keep expanding the possibilities for what we can know and how we can know it. And above all, universities are important because they bring members of the public, ordinary students and young people at the very beginnings of their lives, they bring people into these communities and they train their minds to become deep critical thinkers, to ask questions in a kind of complex and sophisticated way. And all of those things need to happen outside the parameters of AI. So I actually think that the advent of AI is paradoxically one of the biggest opportunities that universities have had for a long time to double down on their ability to move things into a new area of knowledge, a new kind of knowing that hasn't happened before.
That's a really interesting point there you make. And you've written the crucial thing about universities is that historically they've been places where uncertainty and ambiguity are valued. What you're saying there is that this is a real moment of opportunities opportunity for universities to kind of reinvent themselves in a way they've done in the past, and they've got the skills to do it.
Totally. So, you know, my starting point for thinking about the role of uncertainty and ambiguities in universities is actually the great humanist, the great scientist, but also the great thinker about human problems, Francis Bacon. He's working in the Renaissance, famously, in Europe. And he makes the statement that when men begin, meaning humans, begin in certainties, they end in doubts. And when they begin in uncertainties, they can lead to secure knowledge. Now, this seems to me to be the absolute heart of what universities can do, and actually what teaching and learning can do, which is to set what we think we know, to make everything up for grabs, but then to approach the making of new knowledge with a sense of purpose, with a sense of curiosity, and also undergirded by deep expertise among people who have really trained in the disciplines that are being taught. So the opportunity here is to re-immerse ourselves in the possibility and the joy of uncertainty. And I just want to add one thing to that, Nick, which is that we're in an age, I think it's fair to say, where perhaps it's not more turbulent than human history has ever known, but it's certainly a moment where people are deeply aware of the complex nature of human turbulence. You know, it's geopolitical, it's environmental, it's financial, it's religious, it's cultural. You know, there isn't really one aspect of human life at the moment that isn't impacted and shaped by turbulence and uncertainty. And so these are problems, obviously, that are going to partially become solved through extremely expert technical knowledge, through the knowledge of the sciences and engineering and mathematics. And whenever you're dealing with turbulence and complexity, you're dealing with human minds and human emotions kind of under pressure. And again, that's why we really need universities, because they're places where the humanities, which are thinking in complicated and innovative ways about how human minds and hearts and feelings work, where the humanities come into connection with the deep expertise of the sciences. And that's, I think, what makes universities so uniquely important in an age of turbulence.
The joy of uncertainty. What a ringing phrase that is. Sophie G, you've spoken of universities forging relationships with communities beyond their own campuses. And I wonder if that's an area where universities don't get particularly good marks. Academics still view themselves as occupying these lofty ivory towers. I mean, some of them aren't particularly good at communicating beyond their campuses. What do you make of that?
Well, again, Nick, it's the right question to ask, isn't it? Because it's true. We academics, we were not trained to speak plainly and clearly. you yourself have a PhD, and I'm guessing that your capacity for clear communication is not the thing you most learned during your PhD years. And so, yes, it is very much on academics to learn how to communicate, to learn how to speak clearly. It's extremely important. On the subject of sort of community connection, community collaboration, I think academics sort of paradoxically have, and perhaps this is a human thing, a lot of academics have kind of responded to skepticism about the role of higher education and the role of universities by sort of doubling down on what is most abstruse, what is most inaccessible about what they do, as it were, to sort of show the need for this kind of very detailed, high-level work. And of course, expertise is enormously important. But I think that sort of returning from the sort of precarity of universities is to let go of that paradox that we have to be producing inaccessible work. We actually have to be making work that can be really clearly communicated with communities, and also that's learning from communities. So I'd call your attention actually to a major gift at the University of Sydney that was recently launched, which is the Kuda Family Foundation gift of $100 million to build STEM programs for young women and girls, particularly in Western Sydney. And my colleague, the Professor of Chemistry, Alice Motion, has said, I think really brilliantly, that for science to succeed, for scientific research to keep going in innovative and needed directions, all voices have to be heard. And what she means is sort of all human voices, all community voices. So actually, scientific excellence is going to start with community, with talking to people and hearing from young girls and women who are from very often very different cultural and learning backgrounds from one another. So I think that's a really good example of how, you know, very innovative university work is bringing together the need for brilliant communication with deep and specialised knowledge.
Yeah, brilliant communication is essential, isn't it? I used to be fluent in academic gobbledygook, to be honest. I mean, you spoke about PhD. When I turned it into a book, it was literally an exercise in translating it into English. There were words in my PhD that literally do not exist.
Ridiculous. I'm going to guess that the title of your PhD was not The Forever War.
I couldn't even understand that. It was quite a straightforward title. But yes, it was very esoteric. Anyway, you've spent time in some brilliant American universities, some of the great powerhouses of learning. You're a student at Harvard, you've been a professor at Princeton. I wonder what lessons Australian academia can learn from these US institutions.
Yes, it's a terrific question, particularly at a moment where US institutions have been under a huge amount of pressure, particularly the most elite, the ivory tower universities. The president of Princeton, Chris Eisgruber, actually just published a fabulous book called Terms of Respect, which is about the true meaning and true nature of academic freedom. And what he says in that book and what he's communicated really well with the broader public in a series of excellent interviews and conversations is that academic freedom is not about the lifting up of voices on the extremes and margins and the kind of extreme niche positions. Academic freedom is about giving all points of view the opportunity to be heard in a respectful and reasonable and civil way. It's actually about bringing up the volume of a kind of middle ground where you don't necessarily have consensus, but you have a deep desire to make new ideas and get to new ideas by hearing many voices. So I think that's really important. The other thing I'd say about the American institutions that I've been involved in, which I thought was really brilliant, although it took me a long time to figure this out, whenever you're at a place like Harvard or Princeton, you feel like a total outsider. And that used to bother me. But eventually I realized that is at the very heart of those institutions, because when you're a member, whether it's a student or a member of faculty or the president of the university, you're under relentless pressure to keep coming up with ideas that are rigorous and that can be sort of subject to the scrutiny and the discussion and debate of your colleagues across many different kinds of disciplines. And the distinction I would draw that I think is most important about those American universities is that they are not confused about the difference between excellence and elitism. I think that they understand that excellence produces a kind of it produces a kind of rigor and actually capacity to communicate great ideas and share that knowledge with many people. That is a quite extraordinary gift that American institutions have and keep giving to the world.
Professor Sophie G, you have given us so much to think about on Saturday Extra this morning. Thank you for joining us on the program.
Thanks so much, Nick. It was great to chat.
That's Professor Sophie G, an academic at Princeton University in the States and also a fellow here at Sydney University.
ABCRN helps you understand the world. Find more of our stories on the ABC Listen app.